child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor,
That couple that I sat beside today, they was raised Catholic. Brother Smith got up, and you never can tell. It might be God's will for a man of God to go right down the line, plow in the field. Brother Leonard used to say, I plow the corn, it ain't my fault if you're in the way. Brother Smith, it wasn't your fault. God laid it on your heart, and you had to deliver. But you know what? I appreciate a man of God that gets up here and just lays it right on that line. I mean, and makes it simple enough where you can understand it. I appreciate that. He's talking about offending people. Now, I don't know, maybe I ought to repent to you folks for having an attitude of liking to splash people. But the devil is in me. He don't leave me lying to you folks. But that's why I come to church, because I want to be saved. And it might not be as much fun the next time I do that. And probably the next time it'll be even less, and I'll probably come to church and get up and testify, and I'll be looking at all of y'all, looking back at me, thinking, is Brother Paul doing right? Or is Brother Paul being Brother Paul? What, you know, but I want to do right. I want to go in a positive direction. And I want to lift Jesus' name in this world that we live in. I appreciate, you know, Brother Smith went right down the line today talking about who created everything that's around us, talking about why our Heavenly Father is a Father and why Jesus is a Son. You know, it's amazing. You turn on the radio and you listen to these men and women, and I'm not running anybody down, but they lay it out like they see it, and it don't really match what we see in God's Word. You can't. I know there's scriptures that you can pull here and there and risk God's Word to prove anything. Brother Tucker told us one time, he said, you can prove suicide by God's Word. He said, Judas went and hanged himself. And then you pull out another scripture, and whatsoever thou do, do likewise. So you can prove suicide by God's Word. You know, if you want to pull scriptures out here and there. But to take God's Word and rightly divide it and just lay it out there, plain and simple, where anybody can understand it, it takes a true man of God. And I appreciate that. That's one of the things I add to my list Brother Smith was talking about today. We have so much to thank God for. That's one of the things you can add to the list. I appreciate that. God is good to us. That wonderful feeling that we feel when we come to church. I got in my vehicle coming to church this morning, and I don't know if there's something about that trip headed this way. I don't know. And I don't think it's my imagination. But it just feels like God is just with me. It feels like He puts His arms around me. I feel like somebody is hugging me. I appreciate that. And I know I'm just human. I have thoughts, you know, that ain't right. But a friend is one who knows all about you and loves you anyway. Loves you anyway. When you feel like you can get on your knees and knock on heaven's door, and somebody's there, when you ring up the telephone line of heaven, and you don't get a, or this is a recording, please leave a message. You know, you can knock on heaven's door, ring up the telephone line, and you can get somebody on the other end. Somebody who cares. He's our great high priest. Brother Smith was talking about our great high priest. One who laid down his life for us. I'm sorry if it seems like I go down the same path every time I get up, but I just feel like it's so good. It's so good. That wonderful feeling. You can feel it on Monday. Brother Smith was talking to us about getting our life balanced. Talking about it last weekend. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, just like Sunday. We're not two different people. We're the same person. So if we're mean all them other days, we've got to be mean on Sunday too. I'm glad to be here. God is so good. Don't you just love that wonderful feeling? Don't you just love that wonderful feeling? God is so good. He's our best friend.
babbling, and it didn't run me off. It woke me up.
When our neighbors see us, they raise their hands. I said to Esther a while ago, I said, you never say hello, but what you don't talk about the church. And that's Esther. So if there's an ambassador towards this, for the church in this neighborhood, it'll probably be known as Esther. But it's a good feeling because we don't ever say anything bad because there is nothing bad to say about the church. But several of the people now, they'll say, well, we go here, we go there, you know, and we never put down another denomination. It's not our place. Our place is to get to know the neighborhood and to be friends with the neighborhood. And in our small way, I think we are accomplishing. And it's amazing how God uses his animals. I have to tell you our story. It's not really religious, but it is good. The other day, there was a knock on the door. And his name is Hugh, and he lives across the street. And I didn't know he had a wife, that he had children. But there's a lady that I'm going to go meet. She's an elderly lady, and she's lonely. And this is Hugh's mother. Thank you. Said, oh, said, I'm so sorry. Said, my big old dog has put your cat up the tree. Well, I had to start smiling because they don't know Doofus. Doofus is the cat, by the way. Because Doofus, he loves to hunt. He loves to kill snakes. He's a squirrel hunter. I mean, this is a cat. And so I started smiling at him. Hugh, and I said, you don't need to worry. And he said, oh, he said, the cat is way up there. And he said, I think we should call the police or call the fire department to get the cat down. And I said, don't worry. Doofus will be coming down. No, he won't. Finally, Hugh said, if he's not down out of the tree by tomorrow, I am calling the fire department. And I said, we went on talking, and I got to know the man. He is a very nice neighborhood. We're living in a good neighborhood, folks, and we're only two blocks from the church. And so after a while, we're all outside. He was still worried. And I looked across the street, and here come Doofus. I mean, they don't know Doofus. They know he'll... And Hugh looked at me and he said, well, you named the cat right. His name is Doofus. But that is how God works with his animals. Because I would not have necessarily have spoke to this man. But I feel like we're in the process of finding people in this neighborhood that are looking for something. Because everyone that we have spoke to, they'll say, well, we go to church here or there. But they don't have the enthusiasm that we saw in this group of people down there. And it wasn't just because of Doofus, because Esther had already gone and had talked with this man earlier. And It makes you feel good when you move into a neighborhood and there are good people. And I will tell you, folks, that this church is being watched. Down on the corner on this street back here is a man named Mr. White, and we got acquainted with him because Dester stopped and talked with him for a minute. He is the man who if you want a passport to go overseas, you'll have to go through Mr. White. He does it for all of the state of Arkansas. And yesterday when the ladies were having a yard sale out here in front, Mr. White came by, and I was sitting there, and he came over, and he said, "Don't you remember me?" And I hate to say no. I said, "No, I don't. I'm sorry." And he introduced himself again, and he had to stop because he saw some good ladies out here having a garage sale, and he stopped to say hello. And so it's nice to know that we live in a neighborhood where God is, because if we lived in a neighborhood where they were having to have the police or whatever, this church would not have the surroundings. And I don't mean physical, I mean the spiritual surroundings that this church has, because you can feel God here. And I honestly believe that our church is going to keep on growing. We have found young people down there that, and they may go to church somewhere else. I won't ever run down a person if they say that they've got a good church to go to, because you don't know where God is. But to know that we're in a good neighborhood, it is a God's blessing that we are. And so if you come to our house down there, you see somebody, wave at them, because you'll never know but what you won't meet them in church on Sunday morning. And we are inviting people to come on. We'll say, well, if you can't come the rest of the day, come for breakfast. So, you know, I mean, it gets people up here. And so anyway, I'm glad to be here. And I love that feeling of the good, sweet Holy Ghost, because if God is in, if you know God and you know and you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have a whole lot to worry about. You can go to bed at night and feel safe and secure because God is touching us. And I just praise the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord, and I'm feeling at home. And I know there's a work here. I call it, not scriptural, but I call it Elijah's ministry, because in the last two books of the Old Testament, God promised he would, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, that he would send back Elijah. And Elijah would bring the people to their God and their God to their people. And in these end times, as we've heard so strongly this morning, there's a need. For 2,000 years, God worked with the Jewish people. And now 2,000 years, he's worked with the Gentile people. And there's a redeemed church that is headed down the pathway, and my only bone feeling, and I'm thinking that God is sitting up there lonesome, because in Revelation 4, about the 6th verse, it says everything was made for God's pleasure. And I go home sometime and I wonder, did I pleasure God? If he made everything, including me, for his pleasure, what are the things I could do to please God? So I'm outreaching, Lord, to find the things that would please God. And I'm so glad to be here.
thank the Lord for the service today. And I was thinking about when you were saying about Babylon and everything. And I was just thinking when I was a baby, I was about a month old, and all of us, I'm the youngest of four kids, and all of us were baptized Catholic. My mom was Catholic, and she was number 17 of 18 kids, and they were all very devout Catholic people. And my grandma, she'd been around the campground. My dad had been to the campground when he was a young child, and everything had been around. And then, of course, grew up, and he was a stinker. And the world really got a hold of him. And so he finally went to church with them. And mom had stayed home. We had been out all day at the park or something, she said, and wanted to stay home with me and the kids. And so she was already in bed by the time he had come back home. And she said all the lights were off. He didn't say a word, but she said when he came into the bedroom, there was just a different feeling about him. And she knew something happened to him. Just the feeling, just the presence in the room when he walked in, didn't say a word, didn't turn on a light. It was just something had changed about him. And she thought, well, I want to go see what happened. I want to go see what that is. And then she ended up getting the Holy Ghost before he did. I was just thinking, of just how the Lord can move on somebody and can change your life. And you may not speak a word, and it could just be your presence could speak something to somebody. And then I was thinking of how in Republic, Andrew had a friend that came to church, and she was a devout Catholic. And Brother Smith preached hard against Babylon and in a Catholic church, and she got angry while he was speaking. You could see it on her face, and she ended up getting the Holy Ghost at the end of that service. And you just never know what God's going to do. You never know. We may think, we're stepping on somebody's toes, but you never know when it's their time, when they're ready to hear something. And I appreciate being here, and for what the Lord has done, and to see all the many things that he's done for each and every one of us.
You never know what God's doing, how he's working on somebody. And y'all know that I'm half Polish. My mom's a Polak, and she come from a very, very long line of Catholics. And she married this Pentecostal boy from Newport, Arkansas. My grandma and grandpa were in the body, and moved to Phoenix to help Brother Dawkins and the Fosters with the church in Phoenix. But when I was born, Catholics have this thing where you have to be baptized in that faith, and you get a different name and just all kinds of stuff. And I guess there was like a dispute over me being baptized into the Catholic Church, and my dad was upset about it. And finally my grandpa said, oh, forget about it. If they do it, it really don't mean anything anyway. So, but the thing that that I remember that happened when I was really young, and it is, and it's kind of strange because after I got here, I'd forgotten that this happened to me until years later after I was here. But I remember we went, my great-grandma lived a couple hours away from us in Chandler, and we went to Chandler to visit her. And I remember a little girl, and I know I've said this here from a couple of times before, I think, but probably not everyone knows. But, I mean, it's just so incredible how God knows what he's doing, because actually when I remember visiting my great-grandma's house, and there was a picture of Mary hanging on the wall, and I remember being mesmerized by this picture. And y'all, when we lived in this house, I was 4 or 5 years old. That's how young I was. But I just kept staring at this picture. And, you know, after I thought about it and everything, and I thought, well, little girls love princesses. You know, they watch all those Walt Disney movies and all the little girls and everything. And I said, you know, that Mother Mary, they always portray her, you know, with the halo around her head, you know, and she looks holy and righteous, and they always put it in a beautiful frame, you know. I mean, all the pictures I've seen. And so I just remember looking at that picture and just staring at it on the wall. And my great-grandma come up to me, and she said, "You like that picture, don't you?" And she said, "Well, I'm going to give it to you." And she took it off the wall, and she handed it to me. And I remember we drove all the way home from Chandler, and I was sitting in the back seat with that picture in my lap, and I just looked at it all the way home. And then we got home, and I remember my dad said, "Well, where do you want this picture hung?" And I looked around my room, and I remember I told him I wanted, like, over the window where the curtains were, up high, like highest in the room. And so that's where they hung it. Well, and I, you know, 4 or 5 years old, I really don't remember if it happened the very same night after the picture was hung or what, but I remember I woke up just frantic, screaming and just, you know, terrified, like, and my dad came running in my bedroom, you know, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" You know, and I remember I'm like, "I don't know, I don't know," and he just kept on asking me, you know, "Did you have a nightmare, a bad dream? Did somebody hurt your feelings? You know, do you feel bad about something?" I mean, he just asked everything he possibly could, you know. And I told him, I said, "No, no, none of that. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know, you know." So anyway, he settled me down and he went back to bed. And then once again, I don't know if it happened in the same night or another night, but I remember the same thing happened, and my dad come running in there asking me what was wrong. And once again, you know, he went through the list. I don't know what's wrong. No, it's not that. It's not that. It's not that. And he sit there and he talked to me for a while. And then I said, "It's that picture. It's that picture, you know." And my dad said, "That picture, you know." And he said, "Well, you don't have to worry about that picture anymore. We'll take it off of that wall and you'll never see it again." And y'all, I never saw that picture again. I have no idea what they did to it, if they burnt it or give it back, or I never saw that picture again. And then it seems like not too long after that, I remember going to church with my Grandma Wilson. She'd come and pick me up, and I'd stay the whole weekend. And I would go to church with them on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and then we'd usually have dinner or something, and then of course, they'd have to get me back because I had school the next day. But I remember for the longest time being in church in Brother Dawkins' church. And, you know, you could feel the Spirit of God in there. And, oh, my goodness, the band. The reason why I love the trumpet is the best, because of Brother Harvey. He played the trumpet. He was our band leader. And, oh, my gosh, he was, like, fabulous. And my Aunt Peggy, she'd make me sit, like, in the very first... Well, they were theater chairs, but it was like right there. She'd have me sit, and I could see Brother Harvey really good. But she was like up on the platform, straight in the back, and she played the cymbals. And whoa, did she play those cymbals! But if anybody talked to me or come near me or anything, she'd come down them stairs. She'd jerk me up out of that seat. She'll take me out them double doors and whip me. You know, I'd be so embarrassed. And, but anyway, I talked to her about that since I'm in the body, and I don't know why I told you all that, but anyway, you know, I talked to her about it, and she said, she apologized to me, and she said, "I'm so sorry, I don't know why I did that," and I told her, "No, don't apologize. I said, you know, I don't like people to sit by me who's going to talk through church. If they're going to do that, then I just want to sit somewhere else because I know I'm here for the Lord. And I want to listen and I want to hear and I want to know what's being said. And, you know, so, and sincerely, you know, I appreciated that. But the thing about it is I was in that church until, you know, Richard Tate, he took it over after Brother Dawkins died, and then he ended up in Israel. But, and, you know, my Aunt Peggy, she sent me books, like song books, The Restoration of Israel, and there's things that I've written in there and my handwriting, you know, like stuff like, Lord, I want to be a pillar in your house, and anyway, but when I think about it, how thankful I am to God, you know, that I was there. And then when the church was gone, I really kind of went to church with whoever was my friends in school. I mean, you wouldn't believe all the churches I ended up in even my grandma's Catholic church. And but God, and it was like so much confusion, you know, because I would go to this church and I would say, well, how come these people can do this and these people can do this and it's okay for these people to do that, you know? And I remember saying, Lord, you know, and I don't know where this word come from. I mean, I was real young and I said, Lord, I know you're not wishy-washy. You are not like that. There has to be one way and one truth, because you're not just going to let all these people do all this and these people can't. And anyway, but you know, years later, God led me here to this church. I've been here, I don't know how old the Elkins twins are. I think they just turned 18 years, so I've been here over 18 years because Sister Lucy was expecting those twins right when I came during that month before she had them. But I mean, years later, and I think about it, God, all you done, all you brought me through, you led me for a great many years till I finally got here. And, you know, there were other things that happened. Like, I remember whoever my friends were, and I'd go to church with them, and I'd try to get baptized. And something was always happening. Like, the pond would freeze. The pastor would be sick. The pipes broke. I mean, just things kept happening. I could never get baptized till I finally got here. And, you know, thinking about how it was such a big deal when I was a baby, you know, it's like, God wasn't going to let me get baptized till I got to the right place. But, you know, just thinking about that picture, you know, Mother Mary, you know, so little and young. And then I know my parents had something to do with that. How could you sacrifice your child every weekend to go to church? But I think it had something to do with that picture. But I'm so thankful to God. And, you know, you just never know what he's doing. You just never know. I mean, he knows. He just knows. But I'm so thankful to be here. And you know, I just hope and pray that those people see something. And his wife came up for prayer, so I have to believe that, yes, you know. But I love y'all, and I'm thankful to be here.
appreciate the Lord and I appreciate this church. And appreciate the love that we have one toward another. And I've just been thinking down that line how that God's shows his love to us. Like Brother Smith was saying today. Do I not have it on? Just got to get closer. All right. And so, appreciate the love. I was saying how y'all love me when I come around. I was enjoying hearing Sister Lacey. You know, you could tell that she loves the Lord, and it's interesting how that those memories go back all the way to when she was 5 years old, had an effect on her. And and the love, God's love, has more of a, one of the, really the only memory pretty much I can, that's distinct in my mind, was when I had a salvation experience, and that was about when I was 4 or 5 years old. I can remember that. And God's love has an effect on us, and God can use us, Sister Ogden, through our love that we have. Jesus said that that they shall know that we are the children. How's that go? That we are the children of God if we love one another. And so I want to have that love. And Brother Smith was talking about his dad and how that he was, you know, he grew up in a, where that his, he and his dad weren't real close. My dad took me to church as far as I can remember. And he was a, loved the Lord. And, but, I appreciate that, what God did in my life as a child. But the love that that God showed me as a child is what kept me, you know, serving Him. I got up here with this song on my mind. Maybe I'll just sing this song, The Love of God. If I can find the words again. That's no. It's going to be a little high. It's going to be a little high. It's going to be too high. What key is that? Try it there. that's not going to be the right key, Brother Michael. I'm sorry. The love of God. greater far than pen or tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son shall pass away an earthly throne and kingdoms fall when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and how measureless and strong it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels strong. Thank you.
I'm thankful that when we come to church, we usually get the visitation of the Spirit. I love the Word, but I also love to feel the Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, it was on Wednesday night, we had a real good service, and I was feeling good the next day. And so I read in the paper about this lady. I knew her. She and her husband used to come eat pizza on Monday night. She was 85 years old, and I read her obituary in the paper, and it was talking about she was Church of Christ, and talking about how active she was in the church, you know. And it just made me, I was already feeling good from the Wednesday night service. It just made me more appreciative that God didn't leave me out there in Babylon. You know, when I came around here, I thought, I'll never leave this place. Others will leave, but I won't. But another spirit can get a hold of you, and I left. But I'm glad. I believe Brother Smith was talking about it last week. Sometimes God can do something to get your attention if he's dealing with you. So about a year before I came back, there was a tornado that came through one night. It was real close to me. I could hear the roar. I could hear the roar, and I wasn't in church. I got on the floor, and I said, "Oh, Lord, please protect me." And it went over about a few, well, maybe about 200 feet and took the top off of a warehouse, and it went downtown and destroyed Harvest Foods down, I guess, it's on Main Street. So I'm just thankful that the Lord let me come back, because everybody that leaves here doesn't get to come back. But, you know, Sister Ogden was talking about cats, you know, and this stray cat took up with me about five and a half years ago, and I'd never had a cat, and I felt sorry for it. And but after a while it began to get on my nerves. So then I'd get to where I liked it, and then I'd get to where I didn't like it. So I know it's not an answer to my prayer, but not earlier this year I said, "Lord, I'm tired of this cat. That something happened to this cat, so let it run off or something." So I know it wasn't an answer to my prayer, but my cat came up missing, and it's been gone about 6 weeks, and now I kind of miss it. But I know it wasn't an answer to my prayer, but maybe it was. I don't think it was. I don't think my prayers have that much power, but all I know is he's gone. I kind of miss him now in a way, and in a way I don't. But somebody was talking about Babylon, you know, and I remember Brother Eckleberry used to say that he was thankful for all these other churches. I mean, even though they've got the wrong concept of God, he was thinking, you know, if you didn't have these churches, if there weren't these Babylon churches in Little Rock, then this town would be even more evil than it is, you know. So there is some good side to these other churches. But anyway, I like to give compliments, and I like to receive compliments. So I've given Brother Wayne compliments about how he handles himself when he's up talking. I've given to Brother Tally those kind of compliments, and I've given Brother Painter those kind of compliments. So it's nice to give compliments. It's nice to receive compliments. So two or three weeks ago, I wore this suit. Brother Matthew Durham, he said, "That sure is a nice-looking suit. Is that a new suit?" I said, "No." I said, "Brother Brother Daniels bought the coat at Goodwill, and Brother and Sister Wallace gave me the pants, and they just happened to match. But it's good to get compliments. And man I used to work with, he called me, now he's not a church person, but he called me a couple of months ago, and you know, I used to work with him back in the 90s, and he was just complimenting me. He said, I admire you. He said, I know you're an honest person, and I know you've got a good heart, because he knows how when I worked with people, they'd come up and they knew I was an easy touch, and they would come up and borrow money, and I would never get it back. But he complimented me on having a good heart, you know. And I went to see Brother York last Sunday, and I was walking back to my car, and this lady pulled up beside me, and she said, I live at Mayflower, and my gas is empty, and I need $6 for gas. And she might have been making that story up, but I'm just good-hearted. You know, I just a kid comes to the door selling something, I can't turn a kid down. So anyway, just thankful that we have such a good spirit in this church, because, you know, I mean, you can feel so good the next day after you've really felt the Spirit of the Lord. And so just thankful that I hadn't spoken in a while, and I just thought I'd say a few words, because I'm still want to be appreciative of what God is doing in my life. And thank you. Thank God for everything.
Well, I'm glad Brother Fleming came back also. My wife came home one day, and she says, well, I was in the grocery store, and I ran into Brother so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. And they asked if she was still going to this church. And she says, yeah. Why aren't you? Well, one out of three ain't bad. He came back. And she tells me of different people that she knew time back, and she would always make mention that, hey, things are really moving on, and you really need to be back in church. Things are happening. God's blessing. And every once in a while, the words don't fall on deaf ears. So can't encourage you all to, you know, talk to anybody that might have been here at one time or never been here at one time. Let them know what's really going on here. Praise the Lord. It's great.
I figured I'd stand up and try to lift everything up, you know, it's a little slow, and stand up and say how thankful I am for how everything's gone for me this last year. You know, just the last few weeks, I've been kind of in a mountaintop. You know, I've been floating around a little bit higher than I usually am. It's nothing brings me down. I feel good about everything, you know, all the issues and problems, you know, things that your mind always circles around, you know, they don't bother me. You know, it's just like whatever it is, well, you know, it's the Lord, you know, he's really helping me. He's helped me lift up above some of the issues and, you know, things that would have really brought me down and drove me down and keep me up all night and, you know, all those things, I'm feeling pretty awesome. So, you know, in the last several services, you know, the Spirit's been really good and you go home and you have things to think about. You know, my mom was talking about, you know, where she started, you know, back when she was 5 years old and, you know, whatever it was way back there. That kind of got me thinking, you know, where we lived when I was a child, there's a Baptist church there's a Baptist church like just a mile down the road or whatever. And I ended up going to church there at the Baptist church for, you know, off and on for several years. And, the pastor up there, he was trying to, you know, get me saved and he's trying to get me baptized. And that's what really brought me in. But when I was like 5 or 6 years old, you know, we lived in a little mobile home and down the hallway, and I don't know if it's a dream or if I actually saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw it, but you know, you're this tall and, you know, but I had seen two angels standing in that hallway, like from the bedroom out toward the kitchen. You know, I was able to draw a picture of that, you know, and is, you know, in the dream, it's like I stood up, you know, or I sat up and I saw these, you know, glowing people in the hallway. It's like at first you're terrified, you know, petrified. And then just like immediately you're just calmed and you're soothed. And I remember laying right back down and going right back to sleep after that. And throughout my life, I've always been able to think about that. You know, when it got real rough and when it got real bad, I was just always like, well, you know, that held a lot of weight, you know, things like that I thought of as I was going through life, you know, into my adult years, you know, and after I left the church the things that happen in life, you know, like when I was out of the church, I never got messed up in drugs or alcohol or anything like that because, you know, that's what my father was into. Everybody always told me as I was growing up, if it wouldn't have been for that, he'd have been a great guy. So I was like, well, if I stay out of that, I guess I'll be a great guy. So I always stayed away from it. I don't know if I'm a great guy, but people seem to get along with me okay. But I wanted to, you know, just share a little bit of that and say I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for where I'm at in my life. And I don't know where I'm going, but I'm excited about it. Thanks, everybody, for putting up with me.
It's my day. Get to see my family get up. Joe, I'll tell you, that makes my day, bro. I've been here for so many years, and I can't say that's my son, but I can't say that's my son. I'm blessed. I got to see him grow. Now I got to see him blessed. I'm blessed with a wife that's raised two boys, and he's a good young man. He's here. And my wife was raised with a good mother and a good father. And Joe's doing a good thing with his son. So far, the Lord's done something for me, and their family is having to tolerate me. That's the good thing. They're still tolerating me so far. But I want to be thankful that I got them to tolerate me and help me. But I'm being blessed with this, and they helped me quite a bit. Helped me with what my tolerance is. Helped me with, I guess, lifting me up because I fall so much. Joe, I have to say, maybe if you could say something to Jonathan and Josh, you can sort of help them. But if I could be proud, I would be proud. And I'd say, you are a blessing to my eyes. And I know your mother and your grandma. But I can't say proud, but I will say it. But I am thankful that the Lord dealt with you. Maybe it happened to me too. That's the reason why I say that. The reason why I say that is people, your mom prayed for you. A lot of people prayed for you. A lot of people went through the same thing. The Lord has dealt with so many people here. A lot of youth has went through the same problems. But a lot of people, the Lord hadn't blessed or even thought seconds about it and pulled them back in. And that's what I worry about. People right here, our youth right here, the Lord has not pulled them back yet. They're going to have to get some knots on their head. And I don't know how many knots you got on your head. I got some of them. But the Lord let me come back. That's the one thing that I did get. I got a second chance. And hopefully some of our youth don't even have to go out. And I think about it all the time. I think, and I ask the Lord, why did you let me come back? What you said, Joe, I never did do alcohol, never done drugs, but the Lord let me come back in here. That second pew right there on the inside aisle, I tried coming back to church. I fell asleep. I come back to church again. I fell asleep. Literally fell asleep. The Lord let me have the interpretation. It's not time to come back to church. I come back now. Brother Weininger was pastor. I come in. Excuse me. And I come back. And I finally come back right. I kept on praying and said, Lord, what is it? My interpretation later on was, you got enough. And I mean, I got knots, cuts, and things like this. And I don't want our youth now to have it. And I see a lot of our youth over here that has been here, is here, gone. And I think and I worry about things like that. I don't want that to happen. And drugs and alcohol will do it. And I worry about it. The ones that comes in that don't do that, has not done that. I don't want them to do it because that'll do it. But now if we can keep them from going out and doing that, that's a blessing. And that's what I look forward is watch them come up. My wife says I don't go up and get prayed for. I guess that's because I watch our people comes up here, especially our youth. That's one thing I do have a burden for, and I see DJ, you're on my heart all the time. Yeah, I watch you too. Yeah, I pray for you all. Yeah, I see when you come in. That's because I love you. I'm not backwards when I tell some of our young ones that I watch you or I pray for you or I love you, because I used to be that age. That's one thing. I used to be that age. And Brother Paul McGowan, we used to be that age. But the Lord still kept his hand on us. That's what we can say. The Lord still kept us here. We're here today. Not people our age was raised right here. We're still here. Joe, you're here now. You had to get a couple years out, but you're still here. You're back. A lot of us are. Keith, you're here. They're saying laying up mercy. A lot of people don't think of that. But some reason, we got some mercy. I think our parents had some things to do with laying up some mercy. And I think prayers went with it. Our parents, our grandparents went that with that. But a lot of times, I think my wife's dad says he prayed going down the road. He drives a truck. Says a lot of time he's crying down, going down the road. I might be on the couch or sitting at the table. And I'll be praying a lot, not just for me, not just for an individual, but somebody come to my mind for individuals, but so many different things or different people. But that's because this is my family. I say that a lot. Especially my young people, my youth. I don't want any knots in your heads. It hurts. I think about that a lot. But it sort of tricked my mind right there, Joe, of another generation, our next generation of our assembly, our youth. It's like, yes, Zach, I see, well, I want you too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Yeah, your dad worked on you. Yeah, your mama did too. I know it. See, a lot of them don't. All these youth over here. There's some that's been here and been out. Some of them be back too. And I guarantee you. But that's because prayer goes up for them every day. That I'll guarantee you. I'm not a warrior, prayer warrior, but I do try to do as much as I can. But there's so many people that will be back. Some of them went out, but there is hope, and we do love them, and there's some that will be back. That I do promise.
Love.
God. I'm no stranger to the Lord. I think that he would choose me. It's still, like that song says, my heart can't help but wonder why he would choose me, why, you know, out of all the people in this world. But I'm thankful that he did. Hallelujah. I'm glad. It's good to have Sister Tara with us tonight. Appreciate her. She's no stranger here either, but we like it when she comes, when she's here. Probably maybe not quite as much as Zach does, but we're falling right in close second. And Sister Riponda, is that right? Am I saying it right now? I said it right? Sister Riponda's back. I looked that up, by the way. Did you know that's Latin? And it means responses. Yeah, that's what it means in Latin. It's a Latin name, R-E-P-O-N-D-A, and it means responses. So, I hope you keep coming back and you give us some responses. I can tell. I mean, I already know she's a sister. I can just tell. I can feel that. So, but, you know, when you know the Lord, well, there's a response. There's something in your heart that has to come out. Jesus said that. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So there's a response. There's a Riponda in all of us. Hallelujah. And if we didn't have some of these services like tonight where it was kind of slow, we never would get a Riponda out of some of you. You know, it takes that. It takes somebody sitting and they get quiet and somebody thinking somebody needs to do something. Finally, you'll get, you know, we had a guy years ago when I was pastoring in the Winters, Texas church, it'd get quiet like that and nobody would do anything, and his name was, what was his name? Brother Thunderbird. He used to, when we'd go in the van, you know, we'd go visit churches, he always stood outside the van to get everybody to on the van. He used to say, all aboard. If you can't get aboard, get a shingle. And but when it went quiet like it was here tonight, sometimes he couldn't take it, and he'd say, hurry up, Jesus! We'd all nearly crack up, you know. We couldn't hardly concentrate on, because he couldn't stand it. He'd holler, hurry up, Jesus! Sometimes we'd all be laying in the floor when the Spirit would move, and I'd hear him say, send your power down, Lord. I think, where are you at? We're all in the floor. What's wrong with you? And he'd be saying, send your power down, Lord. He was quite a guy, Brother Thunderbird. He was a guy we took to Fort Worth one time. Brother Patton, you know, was up talking with a microphone, you know, like I have on, like everybody uses now. But that was new to Brother Thunderbird. We came back home, you know, we didn't have a mic like that. We just had a big old mic. He said, Brother Smith, one of these days, I took him to visit Fort Worth, and we come back, and he never did figure out what was going on, I guess, because he said, one of these days, he said, God's going to work in your life, and he said, you're going to talk like Brother Patton said, sound just going to come out of the walls and the ceiling, just like it did up there in Fort Worth. I said, all right. He's a true prophet, wasn't he? Yeah. It's come to pass, Brother Thunderbird. All right, let's give him a praise before we go home tonight. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, Lord. God, help us to find a way to fear you, a way to put you in awe this week. Oh, God, to give you glory. God, for what you're doing in our lives. Bless your people. Guide their steps, oh God. Lead us and guide us in your will, we pray. Amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. Be sure to shake Riponda's hand.